Grandfather Pericolo, he said quietly. And he caught himself and quickly looked back down.
A bit early for the drink, eh?
Pericolo replied.
But ah, well, it is a fine day. Might I join you, then?
So nervous was he that Ivor Breen hardly registered the words, and it took him a while to digest them enough to nod and stutter out.
At your pleasure.
Pericolo Topolino sat on the stool next to him.
Yes, one for me,
he said to Shasta, motioning to Ivor Breen's empty glass.
And another for my friend here. We've better libations than that,
Shasta replied.
And I've spent nights nursing my head from far worse,
Pericolo replied with a hearty laugh.
If it is good enough for my friend Ivor Breen, then so it is for me.
Shasta's eyes went wide, as indeed did Ivor Breen's at that proclamation.
To Jolie,
Pericolo said, hoisting his glass in toast.
A pity that she was lost in childbirth.
Now Ivor Breen did look at him, curiously and skeptically.
You didn't know my wife,
he dared to say.
But I knew indeed her important work,
Pericolo explained.
I am a connoisseur of the finer things, my halfling friend.
His use of that word, halfling, settled Ivor Breen in his seat more than a little. A clear reminder that they were, after all, of the same race, a race often denigrated by those of greater physical stature. Naming another little person as such was, in the end, a salute of brotherhood. Ivor Breen lifted his glass and tapped it against Pericolo's, and they shared a drink.
And I count the deep-sea oysters among those delicacies,
Pericolo went on.
I admit that I have not known for very long the specifics of how those came to the fishmonger, but I did indeed notice their absence, or perhaps their rarity would be a better way to put it, a decade ago. Now I know why. So to Jolie Paraffin,
he toasted and took another sip.
You must be devastated by her loss,
Pericolo said. Ivor Breen hunched over his glass. He had indeed been devastated, but not for any reason of love that he would admit, even if it was there in the back of his darkened heart. The loss of Jolie had financially devastated him, what little wealth they'd had. Without oysters to sell, he had become a beggar, and only now, as his boy began to realize his potential as a deep diver, had Ivor Breen's purse and his choice of whiskey begun to recover.
And now the oysters have returned, and I am pointed once more in your direction as the source,
Pericolo said.
Your boy, I believe.
Ivor Breen didn't look up, fearful of where this might be going.
Spider? Is that his name?
Heard him called that.
Did you ever even bother to give him a name?
Pericolo asked, and Ivor Breen's wince answered that seemingly ridiculous question quite clearly.
We just call him Ivor Breen, after his da,
Shasta offered.
Spider,
Pericolo corrected, and the woman nodded.
He's a promising diver, so say my sources,
Pericolo said to Ivor Breen. The other halfling grunted his agreement.
And yet, for all that talent at your fingertips, you have never managed to do more than merely, barely survive,
said Pericolo.
Do you even understand the value of the treasures you possess?
Ivor Breen's thoughts swirled around the words, winding over and under. He feared them to be a threat. Was Pericolo going to kill him and adopt his boy? He looked up at the other halfling. He had to, trying to get some read of that smiling, disarming face.
Of course you don't,
said Pericolo.
The oysters are merely a means to an end for you.
He lifted his expensive cane and tapped Ivor Breen's glass.
This end, the only end for Ivor Breen, the all-encompassing purpose of his existence, eh?
Have you come to taunt me, then?
Ivor Breen said, before he could find the good sense to hold back the words. He even half turned on his stool, as if to square into position to strike at Pericolo. Any thoughts of that disappeared almost immediately, though, as he looked into the smiling, so confident, cherubic face of the wealthy halfling who was known to all on the street as Grandfather Pericolo. Grandfather of assassins. His bravado gone in the flash of that recognition, Ivor Breen's eyes lowered and focused once more on that slender blade, the fabulous rapier of Pericolo. He wondered how badly it would hurt when the tip plunged through his skinny ribs and poked at his racing heart.
"Oh, heavens no, my friend,"
Pericolo said, however, and in such a light-hearted tone that Ivor Breen settled back once more, until he feared the words and tone were just a ruse to put him off his guard. Oh, he didn't know what to think. But Pericolo kept talking.
"You think small because you live small," the grandfather explained. "Whatever goals and hopes you might possess are pushed aside for the sake of one immediate goal, eh?"
Again he lifted his cane and tapped the glass, then motioned for Shasta to refill Ivor Breen's.
"Perhaps that is the difference between us," Pericolo said. "You are small, and I am not." "Ah, I have wounded your pride, and I assure you that such was not my intent," said Pericolo. "Indeed, I envy you."
"What?" Pericolo glanced at Shasta Furfoot as Ivor Breen blurted out the question, and he laughed, for her expression clearly reflected that it might have come from her as well.
"Ah, but to be done a day's work when the sun sets," Pericolo explained. "To think small, to live small, perhaps is to live contented. I am never that, you see. Always is there another treasure, another conquest to be found. Complacency is not a vice, my friend, but a blessing."
Not understanding whether he was being mocked or complimented, Ivor Breen took another deep gulp from his glass, and no sooner had he placed it back on the bar than Pericolo had motioned to Shasta to pour another one.
"The world needs both of us, don't you think?" Pericolo asked. "And likely, we need each other."